Imam Ahmad Rida, guiding souls with wisdom's grace, guiding souls with wisdom's grace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace, a grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Life of the Grand Reviver And inshallah in this final episode we're going to cover more about the knowledge, the blessed knowledge of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatur Rahman. Now, Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma was blessed from the court of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with expertise in numerous sciences. He was a polymath scholar. And he wrote, if you look at his works, he wrote on various topics, tafsir, Hadith. He wrote in refutation of those who espoused incorrect beliefs. But the science in which he excelled the most, or you could say he spent most time in serving, that is the science of fiqh. And the reason behind this is Imam Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma, spent most of his time in doing the most important work. And that's the sign of an intelligent person, that he spends most of his time engaged in that work which will benefit people the most, which is the need of the people. Now, asking questions, this is a great need of the people. They ask questions from the ulama, the muftiyan kiram, and they eagerly await their responses. Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, if you look at his masterpiece work, Al-Ataya al-Nabawiyya fil-Fatawa al-Radawiyya, you will find that most of it is made up of answers to fiqhi questions. Questions related to halal and haram. Questions related to everyday life. Tahara, wudu, ghusl, mu'amalat, transactions, business, trade, employment, salah, zakat, hajj, these kind of things. Fasting in the month of Ramadan. What nullifies a fast, etc. And he was so busy in this work of answering questions that he himself, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that sometimes I have 500 questions to answer, meaning there are 500 questions pending at one given moment. This was the case in his life. The questions would come to him from all over the place, not just his own country, not just his own continent, but from far and distant places as well. Because Allah Ta'ala had made the knowledge of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma renowned amongst the Muslims. The people knew that when we ask a question from this great scholar of Islam, we will attain the correct answer. So let us hear a bit about Ala Hazrat's fiqhi works, his juristic works. Jurisprudence is the name given to Ilmul Fiqh. Now, Fatawa Ridawiyya, this masterpiece work, which is in more than 30 volumes. This was published after the lifetime of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma because people felt that this was a necessity. Otherwise, the works of the great Imam will be lost. And this is what initially actually happened. Many works of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, unfortunately, did not reach us. But what did reach us, what remained of those preserved works, alhamdulillah, you will find in Fatawa Razawiyya Sharif. So the ulama spent a great amount of time, carried out painstaking efforts, a team of ulama, and alhamdulillah, Fatawa Razawiyya Sharif was published. And today, many, many people, thousands and thousands of people across the world are benefiting, especially a scholar of Islam. Because Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, when he would write, the andaz was not always simple, the manner, because scholars would even ask questions as well. Muftis would ask questions as well. Muhaddithun would ask questions as well. So Allah would answer in accordance to the questioner. So if somebody from the laity, the public, the layman, if he asked a question, then Allah Hazrat Ali Rahman would answer in a simple manner, concise and to the point. If he was an alim asking for a detailed answer, then he would answer according to the desire of the questioner. So you will find this usloob, this manner in the entire Fatawa Razawiyya Sharif. In fact, you will find that people ask questions in various languages. And Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma answered in the language of the questioner as well. Let us look into this. When Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, this great faqih, Hanafi jurist, when he went on his second journey to Hajj, to Haramain Sharifain, there the ulama, they would do rujoo to his court, they would visit his court, they would consult with him, they would ask him questions, they would take guidance from him, even though they were great ulama in their own right. So they recognized the status of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma. Now what happened when Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma was in Haramain Sharifain? He wrote two works in Arabic. The first work we've covered in our previous episodes, Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah bil Maddatil Ghaybiyah. Now this work, it was in regard to the knowledge of the unseen possessed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wrote it in Arabic. And subhanAllah, we heard how he miraculously wrote it without having all his books with him. And at the same time, he was ill in those very few days that he was writing as well. He had fever. Ulama would even visit during that time. He had a deadline. He had to finish the book. And he did, alhamdulillah. This book was read in the presence of the governor of Makkah and the mukhalifin who did i'tiraz, who objected against the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A meeting was held. And when this book was read, subhanAllah, the mouths of the opponents, the objectors were shut. The governor of Makkah praised Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma. The ulama of the time, they also praised Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma for writing this amazing work. So this was one work that he wrote entirely in Arabic whilst in Makkah al-Mukarramah. The second work is Kiflul Faqih al-Fahim. Now this work again was written in the Arabic language by Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma. Now why was it written? During Allah's time, currency notes, paper notes became widespread, prevalent. Their usage began. Prior to that, it was just coins. We know right from the beginning, silver coins, dinar, gold coins. So dirham and dinar. Later on, different coins were used. But that was the first time where currency notes in paper form began to be used and circulated amongst the people. Now, many questions arose from this. For example, how do you pay zakat upon those currency notes? What if you owe someone a debt? Can you use those currency notes to repay your debt? So many fiqh rulings were extracted from the currency notes. So many questions were raised. Now, great ulama of the time, they put their hands up. And they excused themselves from answering this question. They were knowledgeable. But this question was a new question, jadid question. So for example, one of the teachers of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, who's based there, Mawlana Jamal bin Abdullah bin Umar Makki, he was a great Hanafi jurist of his time, a mufti of the Hanafi school of thought. When he was asked this question, what is the ruling on currency notes? Is it permissible, impermissible? What are the rulings that are derived from it if it's permissible? Mawlana Jamal bin Abdullah bin Umar Makki Hanafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, knowledge is an amana, a trust around the necks of the ulama. I do not know the answer, so I will excuse myself from even attempting to answer. Meaning I've looked for the answer, I've tried to search for it, but to no avail. Now when Allah Zat Ali Rahma was asked this question, subhanAllah, he wrote an entire book, Kiflul Faqih al-Fahim. And those questions that the ulama even posed regarding the dubious nature of the currency notes, Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma answered all of those questions, removed all objections, and this risala was written, Kiflul Faqih al-Fahim, proving the permissibility of using currency notes. So So as we heard, Allah would answer in accordance to the need of the time. In Haramain Sharifain, it was required to be answered in Arabic, so he wrote in Arabic. If a layman asked him a question, he would answer concisely, briefly, to the point, so that the person is satisfied with the answer. If the ulama were to ask, then he would answer in accordance to the desire of the ulama, meaning a lengthy explanatory answer. For example, one of Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma's earliest teachers, Allama Abdul Qadir Badayuni, rahimahullah ta'ala, he asked Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the greatest of all prophets and messengers alayhi wa sallam. Meaning he asked Allah Hazrat to answer this and to write a detailed answer highlighting the fact that the Prophet alayhi wa sallam is Sayyidul Mursaleen, the best and the greatest of all messengers. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma wrote an entire book, Tajallil Yaqeen. And his manner was, first of all, he would answer in light of Quran. Then he would answer in light of the second source in Islam, the Hadith, and then the Aqwal of Ulama, etc. On many occasions, Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma would write in such an explanatory way that he would continue writing, mention supporting evidences until the answer became a whole booklet itself. And you will find this throughout Fatawa Razviya Sharif. One example, in the first volume, Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma was asked about using a handkerchief after performing wudu to dry yourself. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma answered, he presented so many narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that the Prophet alayhi sallam had a handkerchief, had a piece of cloth with him. And after performing wudu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wipe his blessed a'adha, his limbs, using that handkerchief, that cloth. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma explained those ahadith in terms of usulul hadith, what daraja the hadith is, whether dalil can be taken from it or not, etc. And then there was an objection against this particular mas'ala from Bukhari and Muslim itself. Then Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma removed that objection, answered the possible objections, and explained what the actual purport of that hadith in Bukhari and the hadith in Muslim is. And he explained why, on that one particular occasion, why the Prophet ﷺ did not use his handkerchief to dry his blessed limbs. And afterwards, Hazrat Ali Rahma answered and highlighted more rulings that can be derived from those ahadith as well. And sometimes what would happen is Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma would write an answer, it would form an epistle, a risala, but the answer is so detailed that within that risala, there are many other rasail as well. Amazing. Bazaar, it seems like one risala, but if you were to divide that risala chapter-wise or book-wise rather, you would form many books. So this is not something that's just being supposed. It may be the case. This is a reality. So if you look at Fatawa Razviya Sharif, there is a risala, Husnul Ta'ammum Fi Bayani Haddit Tayammum. This is a booklet of Allah Hazrat. Rather, it's a book, an entire book, voluminous book. And it's in the third and fourth jild. That's how long it is. It goes over into the fourth volume of Fatawa Razviya Sharif as well. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma was asked about the ta'rif, the definition of tayammum. Allah Hazrat mentioned the varying ta'rifat, definitions of tayammum. This is one risala. But within this risala, you have eight different booklets. So this one book reformed eight different booklets. Allahu Akbar. So eight different topics are covered in that particular book in answer to the question. So Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma said, what is tayammum? He answered, when do you do tayammum? What things can be used for this purpose to do tayammum? In what situations can you do tayammum? What a'adhar, what valid reasons must you have to be able to do tayammum? And he answered so efficiently, so proficiently that subhanAllah, it formed eight different booklets. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, subhanAllah, mentioning the blessings of Allah upon him, he says that this faqir quotes the previous scholars, the ulama of the past. But the istidlalat, meaning the derivations, the things that are derived from what the elders have written, they are, subhanAllah, something that you won't find in the previous books. New things Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma mentioned. And he says when our devotees, when people who support us, they see those istidlalat, subhanAllah, they become joyous, they become happy. So we heard that when Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma was asked about something in Arabic, he would answer in Arabic. When he was asked in poetic form, meaning the questioner would write his question in poetic form, Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma would answer in a like manner, using poetry. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma, when he was asked a question in Urdu, and this is the majority of cases in Fatawa Razviya Sharif, he was mostly asked in Urdu, then he would answer in Urdu as well. So you will find, subhanAllah, this variety in the fatawajat of Al-Hazrat Alihi Rahmatul Rahman. Now, when ulama would see his fatawa, subhanAllah, they'd become so amazed, so happy, astounded that such a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists in our time. Now, when Al-Hazrat Alihi Rahma went to Haramain Tayyibain, then the curator of the library, Mawlana Sayyid Ismail, when he saw some Arabic fatawa of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, he was amazed. SubhanAllah. He was so happy, he said, I say, and he took a qasam, and he says, by Allah, I say the truth as well. If your fatawa, meaning the fatawa of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, were presented to Imam Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhu, Al-Imam Al-Azam, the founder of the Hanafi school of fiqh, then his eyes would be soothed. This would provide coolness to his eyes. And he would accept you amongst his students. Allahu Akbar. Who's saying this? A contemporary of Ala Hazrat, who's a great scholar, a mufti himself. And he's saying that if Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma's fatawa were presented in the court of Sayyidi Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Abu Hanifa would be pleased and he would accept Ala Hazrat amongst his students. Now this is Mawlana Sayyid Ismail mentioning this only on the basis of seeing a few fatawa in Arabic. Imagine if he saw the entire work of Ala Hazrat, if he was able to read the entire work, if it was all in Arabic, then his praise of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma would be even greater as well. So the ulama would be impressed. And they would always show, subhanAllah, the appreciation, the admiration as well. Even to the extent that those who were unfortunately wrongly convinced into thinking that Ala Hazrat was not an upright person, or you shouldn't read his teachings, or it happens in every age that people fill the minds of others regarding a certain personality, and unfortunately that person agrees, and before you know it, he becomes an opponent as well. So there was one individual who was from the Mukhalifin, the opponents of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, because people had fed him with so much lies, and he was known as Sirajul Fuqaha Ustadul Ulama Mawlana Siraj Ahmad Khanpuri Rahimahullah Ta'ala. In fact, he would study with those who opposed Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, and he wasn't happy, of course, with Ala Hazrat, because that's all he was taught. And he says that what happened was, I needed satisfactory answers to some questions. And in particular, those questions were regarding Wirathat, inheritance laws. And people who studied know that they are some of the most difficult questions, the inheritance laws, and whose share is what, how much should be distributed amongst these amount of heirs, etc. It's a very difficult science. It can be. Now, this person, Mawlana Siraj Ahmad Khanpuri, says that I would ask questions, but I wouldn't get satisfactory answers. And somebody gave me the mashwara to send those questions to Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Ali Rahman. So he goes, I did. And I also sent it to many other places as well. The answer didn't arrive from anywhere else. And after a week, Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmatul Rahman gave comprehensive, satisfactory, jami' answers to those questions that when I read them, subhanAllah, I was so impressed. I was thinking to myself, where's this person been all this time? Meaning, obviously, because he was studying with those who opposed Ala Hazrat, he never reached out to Ala Hazrat. But when he did, subhanAllah, he received the answer in a week, and all of his ishkalat, all of his reservations regarding the Messiah, all of his objections, they were removed at once, subhanAllah. And after that, any objections he had against the Dhat of Ala Hazrat were dispelled and removed. Meaning he cleared his conscience of any ill will towards Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Alayhi Rahma. And when he saw those answers, he could not hold back. And he said, he is like the second Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Now to wrap up, this point is also a major point, subhanAllah. The ulama have categorized the fuqaha into 7 levels. And when I say fuqaha, I mean the mujtahidun, the elite scholars who are able to derive rulings from Quran and Hadith. Now, from those 7 levels, the first 3 levels, mujtahid mutlaq. This refers to the likes of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. These were founders of the mazahib, and their expertise was beyond anyone else's level of expertise. The second level is mujtahid fil madhab. That refers to the likes of Imam Muhammad, Imam Abu Yusuf, waghaira. So that's a very high level as well. The third level of mujtahidun, that refers to mujtahidin fil masail, mujtahid fil masail, somebody who was a mujtahid in rulings of that particular school. And ulama, when reading the works of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma, his fiqhi works in particular, they say that we believe that Ala Hazrat falls into the third category of the mujtahidun. From the seven categories, mujtahid mutlaq, mujtahid fil mazhab, and this third one, mujtahid fil masail, we believe Ala Hazrat falls into that category. Because when you read his works, when you read his grasp over the rulings of the Hanafi school of thought, then this is the conclusion you come to. And this is not normal people saying this. This is great, great ulama, fuqaha, allamas of the time saying this regarding Ala Hazrat alihi rahmatur rahman. And it's truly a godsend. Allah Ta'ala sent this blessed individual, the mujaddid of his time, mujtahid, as we heard. May Allah give us tawfiq to benefit from his works, to spend our lives learning about this blessed individual, this amazing individual who revived the deen in his time, who revived the love of the Prophet ﷺ, who refuted those who, ma'azallah, were trying to deviate people from the right path, and who presented the laws of Islam in a pristine and beautiful way, so that people could know that this is Islam, not what others are portraying it as. Alhamdulillah, Imam Ahmad Rza Khan single-handedly, subhanAllah, led to a great revolution in his time. And even till today, people are benefiting from his works. And this will happen till Qiyamah as well, inshallah. He built a legacy, he left a legacy. He was blessed immensely by Allah and his Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We pray to Allah, Jalla wa Ala, that through the generosity of the Prophet, alayhi salam, Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, grants us tawfiq to also build such a legacy, to leave something behind, leave beneficial works behind. Rectify people, rectify ourselves, beautify our lives with love of the Prophet ﷺ. And inshallah, when we do so, we will gain success in both worlds. Allah Ta'ala grant us all afiyah in abundance. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Imam Ahmad Ridha, guiding souls with wisdom's grace. Guiding souls with wisdom's grace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace. A grand mujaddid, a cherished embrace.